If you were here with us last week, you remember that Pastor Ted started a new series on prayer, and we'll be doing this over the next few months. Pastor Ted took us through just one verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and where it's right before the Lord's Prayer. And in this one verse, we saw that Jesus had just finished praying, and one of his disciples actually asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And out of all the questions that the disciples asked, it wasn't like, "Oh, teach us how to heal someone, teach us how to cast out a demon, teach us how to turn water into wine," but it was really, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Pastor Ted shared with us really what prayer was according to Jesus, a way of communing with God, not getting God to meet our needs, but a way of aligning to God's will, and that our assignments from God come through prayer. Four practical ways to get started. Think of prayer as a heart language, a love language. Cultivate intimacy first. Remember the example where when he calls Sandy, he doesn't give her a list. He just says, "Hi, honey." That's him, not me, okay? "Hi, honey, how's it going?" Right? He doesn't have a laundry list of things, an agenda to talk to his wife about. He just talks, right? And that's how our agenda with, we shouldn't have an agenda with God, but that's how it is with God, right? A love language. What is our communication with him? It's a heart language. Prayer is a discipline, something that needs to be developed, right? And when we start by setting aside a time and a place. We pencil it in, we schedule it. And then we need to learn how to pray corporately, which we have been practicing even today, coming into agreement with two or three or five other people. And that there's power in that when we come together as a corporate body. And today we're gonna actually pivot from that topic of prayer to something that's very closely related topic. And Lynn actually did a very nice job talking about fasting. And so because of that, I'm gonna try to keep my sermon short because she talked about fasting. But today we wanna spend some time talking about fasting and what that really means. You know, you kinda hear the terms prayer and fasting used together. It's kinda like peanut butter and jelly. It's kinda like a warm apple pie a la mode with ice cream, right? I don't know why I'm using all these food analogies when I'm talking about fasting. Sorry about that, but maybe I'm hungry. But you know, you've been hearing us talk about this Deeper Life Conference coming up at the beginning of March, and just another encouragement. You know, I know our sessions are gonna be Friday night and Saturday night in San Jose, and I know sometimes that's a little far, but I really wanna encourage you to go. Because these are times that God has set aside for us. And I feel like if we're not there, we actually miss out. And I know he'll be here on Sunday, which is awesome. But I want all of us as a New Vine family to get all of what God has in store for us. And part of this preparation time is we have started entering into a 21-day of fasting in preparation for this Deeper Life Conference. And for those of you who are on our regular email distribution list, hopefully you're getting the daily devotionals. I don't know, are you guys getting them? Yes? Okay, good. If you're not getting them, if you want to get them, let me know and I'll add you to the list. But every day we're sending out just a brief devotional, just some reflection questions as we prepare for this Deeper Life Conference. But what really does it mean to fast? You know, is it only supposed to be for those medieval monks in those hoods? You know, or maybe some super Christian, you know, you're like, "Oh yeah, only the holy people do that." You know, what's the purpose of fasting? Why, you know, isn't that just something in the biblical days, but we don't really do that now? Like, what's the big deal? Why are we talking about fasting? So I want to just, I mean, so this is kind of like a little like primer on fasting. It's not meant to be all-inclusive, but I just want to hit on some certain things about fasting. And really, what is fasting? Well, before we get into the definition of what is fasting, I really want to share with you what fasting is not, okay? It's not a hunger strike, okay? You know, it's not to gain political power or to advance a good cause. You know, you sometimes you hear on the news, "Oh, so-and-so's going on a hunger strike because of whatever, whatever." It's not a hunger strike, okay? And the second thing it's not is it's not the latest diet plan. Okay, now, I know some of us have heard about the latest trend of intermittent fasting, right, where it's kind of like, I didn't know that much, but I was looking on the internet, and, you know, like, perhaps it's like, I'm going to fast every day for 14 to 16 hours, so basically, I'm not going to well, I'm going to restrict my eating hours between noon and 8 p.m. And then starting from 8 p.m. till the next afternoon at noon, I'm not going to eat, right? So that's one way of doing intermittent fasting. Another way is eating normally 5 days of the week while restricting your calories on the other 2 days out of the week to only 500 to 600 calories. So I don't know, some of you may be familiar with that term, intermittent fasting, but fasting in the biblical sense is not any of those two, okay? You know, we're motivated a lot by our desire for power or agenda or by vanity, you know, but that's really not the biblical definition of what fasting is. Biblical fasting is actually voluntary abstaining from food for spiritual purposes, for a purpose of seeking God and spiritual growth. Now, we're not really saying, oh, you have to skip a meal or three meals, or you have to go on a 40-day fast without eating anything but just drinking. But while fasting, you can actually draw closer to God by doing various things, by just reading God's word, by praying, by worshiping, carving out that time. And I know, you know, we talk about reading God's word and spending time with him daily, but this is an extra step. This is an extra thing saying, you know, God, during this period of time, I am going to devote to you the times that I might be eating lunch. And that half hour, that hour, I am only going to be communing with you. You know, fasting is really meant to create a hunger for God. If we are fasting from food, it's really denying the physical pleasures in order to focus on the spiritual things. You know, we're in a sense deliberately making room or intentionally decluttering a lot of the things of this world in order to make room and focus on the things of God. Now, you know, well, you know how much stuff you have. I know how much stuff I have, right? Whether it be, you know, in our homes or even in our lives, you know, how much stuff we inundate ourselves with, right? And I think sometimes it's just, we have so much stuff that it crowds out any space for God to speak, or it crowds out any space for God to say something or to really come in to our lives. So this is really what it's about, creating space so that if God were to speak, we would have the sensitivity to hear him. We would know that it's God speaking to us, that it wouldn't be our own voice or someone else's voice. Now, even though you can fast as an individual, there are times when we have opportunities to do it together as a community, just like what we're doing now during this 21-day period. To intentionally make room or declutter the good things of this world. Now, you know, we all know food isn't a bad thing, right? We all need food to live, right? You know, but sometimes too much of these good things can really shift our focus away from what God is doing in our lives. Now, I also want to say that, you know, we talked about fasting as abstaining from food, but as Lynn shared, it doesn't necessarily have to be just about food alone, right? Perhaps for health reasons, some folks may choose to fast for other things, or even if it's not for health reasons, you know, think about what really you spend most of your time doing, or what maybe controls you, right? Maybe a good question is, yeah, what is it that controls me? Is it media? Is it television? Is it the internet? You know, perhaps we need to fast from that. Perhaps we need to fast from TV, computer games, social media. How about this? Being angry or having a short temper? Maybe I need to fast from passing judgment without knowing all the facts. You know, so what I'm trying to get at is, yes, fasting, you can fast from food, but don't limit yourself to just food. And I do want to encourage you fasting from food if you can, but there are other ways that we can fast together as a community. Maybe it's an attitude that we have that maybe perhaps God is trying to chip away at and say, you know what? Remember how you kind of cut off people on the freeway? Maybe we need to fast from the way we drive, right? Okay, I want to take us through some biblical examples of people who fasted and why. Now, fasting, and we don't have time to look through all of the scriptures, but fasting is actually mentioned throughout the Bible in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was a way of expressing grief or a means of humbling oneself before the Lord. For example, in Nehemiah, he fasted for confession, repentance, and favor in the sight of the king to get permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We find that in Nehemiah chapter 1, where he fasted before he went into the king to ask permission to rebuild the walls. Mordecai, you remember the story of Esther and Mordecai and the Jews? Mordecai and the Jews fasted upon hearing of a plot to kill the Jewish people. And you remember that Queen Esther, she was, Mordecai was her uncle, and basically he said, "Hey, Esther, we have heard about this plot, so you have to go talk to the king." But she was like, "You know, I haven't been summoned to the king in I don't know how long, and the law is basically if this king hasn't summoned you, you can't go in. And if you go in, he has to extend the scepter or otherwise he'll kill you," right? And so the people, the Jews, fasted for Esther so that when she went into the king, not only would her life be spared, but that the king would grant the request to spare the lives of the Jewish people. And we know that that's what happened. But because they called for a fast and everyone was corporately fasting, that God moved the king's heart, right, to spare the Jewish people. And then, of course, we know about David, who humbled himself for God to intervene because of injustice. And then also he fasted for healing and miraculous intervention in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Just a few Old Testament examples. In the New Testament, it was really about a means of growing closer to God through meditating and focusing on him. Kind of like what we are trying to encourage us to do as a church body right now. You know, you remember in Luke chapter 2, there was a widow and a prophetess by the name of Anna who worshiped day and night in the temple, fasting and praying, right? So she really wanted to grow close to God. And then it was at that time that she saw the baby Jesus, right? And then the early church fasted while they were worshiping and committing their ministry to the church. You know, they sought the Lord through fasting for guidance and confirmation and the appointment of elders. And we see that in Acts chapter 13. Also, Paul and Barnabas, they also prayed and fasted for the elders of the churches before committing them to the Lord for his service in Acts, also again in Acts chapter 14, same passage that I was referring to. And then if you think about Jesus, okay, Jesus also fasted. An acknowledgement of a dependence on God the Father to gain spiritual strength. All right? So you remember that basically he spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness fasting and praying before he began his ministry. And that during that 40 days, after the 40 days, he was tempted by the devil, right? But in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry." Now, why would the Son of God need to fast? I mean, if he's the Son of God, why would he need to fast? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, just like last week when we were posed the question, if Jesus is the Son of God, why would he need to pray? Why would he need to go to a solitary place and pray? Right? But yet he did. He prayed and he fasted. And it was a regular thing. He prayed and fasted so that he could show us the way and really set an example. If Jesus, as the Son of God, prayed and fasted, shouldn't us, as his people, so much more? Well, I know we pray. Okay, I think we pray. But what about fasting? Do we even make it a point to fast? And I'm not saying you have to fast regularly every week or every day or whatever, but even during this time of preparation, you know, it's really inviting you all to join us as we fast together. There was one teaching that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. I think we have that on the screen. You know, basically, these two verses from Matthew directly follow the Lord's teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And basically, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he's saying in verse 16, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Notice that Jesus, in the beginning of verse 16, and also in verse 17 in the beginning, he actually says, when you fast. He says, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast. He doesn't say, if, you know, you feel like fasting. He says, when you fast. I mean, he basically expected, it was an expected thing to be fasting. It's like, oh yeah, it's time to fast, right? It didn't seem to be an option, but rather a standard practice of when you fast. And it wasn't, you know, he was teaching his disciples, it wasn't meant to be seen by others or to make it obvious. You know, a lot of times, you know, you might be like, oh, I'm so starving. I'm so hungry because I haven't eaten in, you know, X number of hours or whatever because I'm fasting. That wasn't the point. It wasn't meant to show off like, oh wow, I'm holier than you because I haven't eaten. Or so this is the thing, if when you fast long enough, your breath kind of starts to smell a little bit. So it's not like, oh, here, come and smell my breath to see how godly I am and see how long I fasted. That wasn't the point. The fasting thing wasn't meant to be seen by others, but it's supposed to be just between you and God. And I know we have this corporate thing, so I'm not gonna ask you, hey, are you fasting, Linda? Or hey, are you fasting, Mia? It's between you and God, okay? So it's not meant to be a guilt trip at all, but it's really meant to share this Christian discipline, this spiritual discipline of fasting that was taught in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and is still to be practiced in our modern day church today. Now, despite biblical examples throughout Scripture, many Christians still may not embrace this concept of fasting. Maybe they don't see the need, or perhaps they think that it's not relevant today, maybe only during biblical times. And I don't know, what might be some hesitations? Maybe there's some fear. Maybe you've like never done it before. Maybe there's a fear of the unknown, maybe afraid of feeling hunger pains if you're doing food. I'm going to starve, but I can't last the 21 days, so what's the point? Or maybe I'm doing it by myself. It would be nice if I could do it together with some people. Maybe there's fear, okay? Maybe there's just, you just didn't know. Maybe there's some ignorance, right? We haven't been taught that this is actually a very valid way of coming before God and seeking and thirsting and hungering after him. That even if we have this physical hunger, that will direct us to our spiritual hunger to say, God, I really am hungry, but beyond my physical hunger, I really want to hunger for you and thirst for your righteousness. You know, maybe as a church, we haven't encouraged fasting. I don't know if we've ever taught about fasting in the 3 years that we've, you know, that New Vine has been in existence. Maybe we haven't mentioned it from the pulpit, perhaps. Or maybe you might think, oh, it's only for those super Christians, or maybe like it's only for the pastors or for those that are really dedicated. But fasting is meant for the church, for all of us. Even though you might be aware of the benefits of fasting, maybe you're still, there's some unwillingness to still do it. Maybe your hearts are kind of like, well, I don't know, it just seems like a stretch, right? Or maybe your heart's maybe a little hardened. But this is, see it as an invitation that God is inviting us to journey with him, to create space, to create a deeper hunger and longing for Jesus. And I want to share some personal stories or a personal journey. Lynn mentioned earlier in our San Jose church, our kids and kids church have been encouraged to also do a 21-day fast, not necessarily of food, but so they have this little sheet and it has scripture verses for the 21 days. And so our kids brought it home last week, and one kid filled it out. You know, I have three kids, right? One kid filled it out and they were going to fast from eating candy. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then for the other two, I was like, well, you didn't fill anything else in. What are you going to do? And I was trying to like suggest, as any good father would, why don't you fast from having a tantrum? You know, why don't you fast from having a bad attitude? You know, and so of course they didn't say they would, but they're all fasting from candy. So I was kind of like, okay. But then it's interesting because, you know, Friday, what was Friday? Valentine's Day. So they all came home with like heaps of candy. And so I heard yesterday that one of our kids was a little like unsure of what they wrote, like whether or not they could fast candy anymore. So I don't know, maybe I'll still throw out the tantrum suggestion and see what they say. But our kids, our kids are supposedly fasting from candy, but I don't know about the whole Valentine's thing. And then the other thing, my personal story is I want to just flat out tell you that I'm still learning about the discipline of fasting. I'm not a fasting expert. I'm not a fasting pro. I haven't fasted for 40 days. I know some in the room may have. And quite honestly, I don't think I started fasting ever until I was an adult. Okay. And I'll tell you a little bit of my background, but you know, I have a protective Chinese mother, okay, not to blame my mother, but who's always afraid of me not having enough to eat. You know, and if you have a Chinese background, you'll know that one of our greetings is, "Have you eaten yet?" You know, so as Chinese, we place a lot of emphasis on how well fed you are. I don't know if it's because a carryover from the war days or whatever, or just this whole like, oh, you're gonna starve to death. So as I grew up, there's always this emphasis on eat enough meat or eat enough protein or food, right? And so that's always been ingrained in my head, okay? And it really wasn't until I got married, and praise God for Cheryl, because she was like, you know, you actually don't have to eat to make yourself full. Like, you could actually be hungry a little bit. And at first, I was kind of like, what? Like, you're nuts. Of course, I'm always, you know, when we first got married, I'm like, I need more meat. Like, where's the meat, right? Where's the beef, right? And so she was kind of like, you know, it's actually okay to be hungry. Like, you're not going to die. And I was like, that's not what my mom taught me, you know? And so, but it's true. I mean, she's the physician, right? She would know, right? And so, but the point is, after we were married, she really challenged me like, hey, you know, like, you're really putting too much emphasis on food. And it's okay if you go hungry every now and then, you know? And so really, I started this whole fasting thing. It started taking like a different turn. And I was kind of like, oh, you mean I can actually like go hungry a little bit or even a lot and actually still be okay? You know? And so that's kind of been my journey, right? And again, I'm not a pro and I don't do it that often. But as I've been reflecting on the scriptures and I've been looking at Jesus' example, fasting really is God's invitation for you and I. You know, it's not like you must fast. I mean, it's not in the Ten Commandments, okay? You'll know that it's not in the Ten Commandments because we just cover the Ten Commandments. But see this as God's invitation to his children to set aside some time to make some space. See it as a time to declutter. See it as a time to really think about, okay, God, what is controlling me? Is it just my fascination for food? Like, even before you finish your lunch, are you already thinking about what you're eating for dinner? Right? Sometimes I do that. Like, oh, what am I going to eat? You know, or where are we going to go? Or whatever. Like, what is it that's really controlling you? That's really taking up your attention, your time? Is it video games? Is it surfing the web? Is it Facebook? Right? What is it that you're spending your time on? And maybe during this season, God is asking you to lay that aside, to say, you know what, God? I'm going to try this whole fast thing. And I'm going to just try to lay it aside, you know, the half hour that I spend doing this activity. I'm going to refocus. I mean, I'm going to invite you to really speak to me. I'm going to set aside that same amount of time. Now, I don't want you to think, okay, I'm not going to eat, and then I'm just going to do something else. If you're not going to eat, set apart that time to really seek God. Set apart that time to pray. Set apart that time to say, God, what is it in my life that I need to really get rid of so that you can get my attention? So that you can have a deeper work in my heart. It's really about denying some of the good things that we've gone through our lives, right? But really creating space and hearing from God, making room for Him to come and for His Spirit to work in us. So I want to just ask you, like, what really is preventing you from fasting or from saying yes to God's invitation to us as a family? You know, is it a fear that you might have? You know, God knows your heart. He knows our hesitations, right? We can lay that before Him. We can say, God, like, I'm really struggling with this. And just set it down, lay it at His feet, and say, God, help me with this fear or this ignorance or maybe just this unwillingness, this stubbornness, or whatever it is. What is it that might be preventing you from making space for God? And the other encouraging thing I want you to remember is, you know, I just want to invite you to start small. It doesn't have to be anything phenomenal or big. You know, just a simple thing, skip a simple meal, whatever it is that God is speaking to you. Just start small and start, you know, expanding from there. You know, I don't expect any of us to like, I listened to your sermon and I haven't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights, you know. Like, that's not where we're going. Start small, you know, and expect God to do something. You know, when we take a step of faith, even though it's a little step, expect something from God. You know, if we make space in our hearts and we say, God, I want you to speak to me, don't you think God will? Like, if God wants us to make space so that He can get our attention, don't you think that, of course God will speak to us? Of course God will bring us closer to Him, right? So brothers and sisters, I really want to encourage you to take a step of faith, to say, okay, God, I don't really know about what I'm doing, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to just dive in and take a step of faith. So I want to actually ask the worship team to come back up and to lead us into that last song again. And just before we close, let's just come before God in worship, and then after that we'll close in prayer. But really be thinking about what God has done in your life and His invitation to us as a body today to join Him in fasting. Jesus, we say that only You are worthy. Jesus, we say that You are the worthy Lamb of God. God, we give You praise. We give You thanks. We thank You, Jesus, for Your reminder today, Your invitation, Lord, to enter into the season of fasting, Lord, to enter into an intimate time with You. Father, we pray that You would continue to speak to us, God, that You would stir in our hearts a deeper hunger, a deeper desire, a deeper longing for God, You to come. Lord, we pray that You would stir within us just a thirst for You like we've never thirsted before, a hunger for You like we have never experienced before. God, that nothing in this world can satisfy. No delicacy, no entertainment, no worldly pleasure or worldly success could satisfy. Jesus, we want You to be our satisfaction. We desire for You to be our all in all. So God, we pray that in the next few weeks, that God, You would stir within us this desire for more of You. God, that in the next few weeks, we would make room for whatever it is that You have to say to us. That in the next few weeks and the days to come, that God, You would come in a powerful and yet personal way. That You would meet us in our individual circumstances. That You will meet us where we are. And that God, You would speak in a loud voice. That we would not deny that it is God, You speaking to us. So Lord, we ask God that we would lay down any fears, lay down any hesitations, Lay down any stubbornness. God, forgive us, Lord. Lay down any apathy to our relationship with you. God, as a community, as a church, we want, Lord, to be right where you are. We want to hear from your Spirit. We want you to daily download to us as individuals and as a church your heart. So God, would you come and speak to us? Would we be obedient and create that space? Would we be obedient and give you that permission? Would we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Jesus, we invite you to come to speak to us. Lord, we know that you have prepared a feast for us, and we thank you in advance for this invitation that the God of the universe desires to speak to his people. Thank you for that privilege, for that blessing. God, we want to say we are here and we want to be ready for what you have to say and what you will continue to say. So we ask God for your presence as we go from here, that you would stir within us not just a physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger for more of you. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. For it's in your most precious name that we pray.